Right, I'm joined in the studio by my guest today. It's Nick Dobson. He's going to be talking to us about some fantastic poetry from World War One, actually. And this is what you do. You give talks, don't you, Nick?
I do indeed, yes.
And we're celebrating at the moment. It comes around so quick. It is the Essex Books Festival. As you know, I was speaking to Sylvia Kent only last week. So you're going to be with Sylvia Dowling, who is an actress as well.
Yes.
And this is going to be taking place on, let me just have a look, the 13th of March at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, finishes about 3:45, and it's at Great Baddow Parish Church. And
that's
the
right.
Title is It'll All Be Over by Christmas. So first of all, just tell us exactly what the talk's about, and then also I want to know who actually came out with that statement as well.
Right. Well, the talk, it's basically a straightforward history of World War One, very much from the British perspective on the Western Front, because of course it did become a world war, but we're really concentrating on the Western Front and the British involvement. To try and get the spirit of the First World War, I included poems by many of the very well-known poems. It's poems that everyone will know. Siegfried Sassoon, Wilfred Owen, people like that. Rupert Brooke, the soldier, of course, had to include that one. One of the best known of the First World War. And so basically I tell the history with pictures, and Sylvia, who will be joining me on this occasion, originally it was going to be my friend Vincent Daniels. Unfortunately, Vincent has to go into hospital.
Yep.
He'll be fine, don't worry. but Sylvia's stepped into the breach. She's done the talk with me before, and she is absolutely terrific. So she reads the poems really beautifully, and it works rather well. And I've been doing this for probably about 6 or 7 years now.
And how did you get involved in doing it, sort of going into speaking and things, because it isn't, a lot of people get very nervous about speaking in public. So how did you get into it? What sort of background have you got?
Well, it's quite complex, really. Would you believe it's by growing fuchsias? Yes, slightly odd, really. I used to grow fuchsias, I used to show fuchsias, and then one day someone said, well, we're always looking for speakers. If you can grow them, can you do a talk? So I started doing talks on fuchsias. Got a little bit bored with just the basic sort of how to take cuttings and all of that sort of thing. So I made it a little bit more interesting and wrote almost like a little sketch, which was called Over the Garden Wall, which I still do. And it was really from there. And then I found I enjoyed talking so much. I started performing light opera as well, joined some societies, which is where I actually met Sylvia, who is an actress and also a director.
Yeah.
From there, I also started branching out doing different talks. I've always had an interest in the First World War, and so I thought, well, let's put something together on the First World War. And really, the title sort of suggested itself, because a lot of people, when the war started in August, and of course it's the centenary of the start of the war, as everyone knows, when the war started, everyone said, oh, it won't last long, it'll all be over by Christmas.
Yeah.
And of course it was, but it was Christmas 4 years later.
And what was it like? I mean, my parents were in the Second World War. Which was horrific enough with the bombing and the stuff. But the First World War, you read so many sad stories about the very, very young lads, and people wanted to fight for the... I mean, I don't know what it would be like in this day and age now if you tried to get anyone to sign up to go to war. But back in those days, they were so proud to be British. They wanted to die for their...
Yes.
They wanted to come back, but they wanted to be, representing Britain and doing the best they could, and they were going over the top of these walls and basically getting killed.
Mown down, yes.
You had no other option, did you, than to go over?
Well, that's right. I mean, actually, the first day of the Somme, which was in 1916, the 1st of July 1916, there were around 20,000 British soldiers killed in one day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, of course, if a soldier's killed in Afghanistan, it's reported on the news, quite rightly.
Yeah.
But, we're in a different age. And I always say the First World War was the most important event in the history of the 20th century, simply because it changed British society completely.
Yeah.
If you used to go back to 1913, you'd be in something that was a little bit more like a feudal society, really. After 1918, a lot of the upper class, they'd sold, had to sell their mansions. A lot of people from the higher classes actually were killed in the First World War, so the heirs to those fortunes, they were killed. Mm. And it became a very different society, a society you would recognise as the society of 1918, possibly not the one of 1914.
Yeah, so, and yeah. Also because of women as well. I know that it was kind of, I think women had they got the right vote to the vote by that stage, or was it a little vote bit
just after the First World War?
Because yeah. Again, in the Second World War, you had women had to go into factories because that's they, right. where they were homemakers, their yeah. roles changed as well.
And that's something I look at in the talk to some extent, because I do also look at the home front. Mm. And yes, women suddenly had got liberation, they'd got freedom. There's a wonderful poem that we actually include. It's by Madeleine Ida Bedford, and it's called Munitions Workers. Mm. And it's all about sort of a girl working in a munitions factory, which, as she explains, suddenly she's got money to spend, but also it's very dangerous because if a bomb falls yeah. on the factory, it could blow up. And of course, also, there was all the working with the chemicals, and a lot of those girls were very sort of badly affected. Many of them died through chemical exposure. Yeah. Many were sort of ill for life, and many of them never could have children. So, yes, it changed sort of things for women completely.
And although you don't read the poetry, is there any poem that you can kind of quote to us? It's difficult, because if I try to remember poetry, it'd be hopeless. But have you got anything that you might be able to remember? I know that Sylvia normally does the poetry.
Sylvia actually reads them beautifully. I don't yep. think I would even attempt to. On one occasion, at the very last moment, the actress who was going to work with me at a talk couldn't make it. I ended up doing the poems and the sort of the history as well. And I thought, goodness, this really is hard. I think I've got the easy option there. I mean, there's so many of them. One or two of the lesser known poems are really, really good. There is actually a fantastic poem by Robert Service. Now, Robert Service was a Canadian. He was known as the Bard of the Yukon. Mm. And he wrote a poem. He became an ambulance driver and stretcher bearer in First World War, because I think he was sort of around 40 at the time.
Yeah.
And he wrote a poem called Tipperary Days, which is a wonderful poem. I can't sort of remember it sort of completely, but it starts off by really describing the attitude of troops sort of marching towards a battle, say the Somme, for example. Mm. I think it's probably the Somme he's thinking of, and how they sort of go sort of really sort of free of cares, sort of looking forward to sort of the scrap. Mm. And then you've got the sort of the decline. What are they singing, he says? You know, you've got the French, they're singing their national anthem. The Belgians are singing their national anthem. What are our boys singing? They're singing It's a Long Way to Tipperary, yep. which is why it's called Tipperary Days. And we do actually break into song at that point, I have to say. So yeah. So anyone that's coming along to the talk, you know, be in good voice, because you can join in with It's a Long Way to Tipperary, because I think everybody knows that one.
Yes. And where does that song originate from? Is it?
Well, actually, it was written just before the Great War. I think it was 1912. Hmm. And the composer, it was a bet. He was actually asked to write a song that could be performed in the music hall the next day. This was up, I think, in Manchester area. And he knocked out the song in a day. The reason it's got the Irish theme, it's a long way to Tipperary.
Yep.
His grandparents were from Tipperary, so though he was British.
Yep.
And I think it was about the only song that really sort of ever. It was he was a one hit wonder in some ways, yep. but you know, what a hit, eh?
Yeah. Well, I know that.
Everyone
knows that one. So you're going to be doing this talk. It's on the 13th of March at 2:00. It goes to 3:45, so you get your money's worth as well. It's only £5.
That's not bad,
which is fantastic. And it's going to be at the Great Baddow Parish Hall, which is in Chelmsford. You can find all the details of this if you go to the essexbookfestival.org.uk. There are loads of events going on all over for the next, I think it's right the way through to the end of March. And as you know, we've got quite a few writers and people coming onto the shows who are giving talks and all sorts of things. Who actually said it'll be? You mentioned that it was actually said that it'll all.
It'll all be over by Christmas.
Yeah, it'll all be over by Christmas.
I don't know if there's any one person that's.
Wasn't a politician or.
No. I mean, actually, there were politicians. There were soldiers who had a pretty shrewd idea that it wouldn't all be over by Christmas.
Yeah.
Lord Kitchener, for example, and I do talks on Lord Kitchener. He knew from the very start that it was going to be a long drawn out conflict,
yeah.
because he did say it will come down to the last million men. 10, whoever's got that last million, will actually win the war. Mm. So that's why he immediately started recruiting the new armies. So that's why you've got the huge rush to enlist that takes place from September right through until the end of 1914.
Yeah, and some of the obviously some of the guys that were in that war then went on to be in the war afterwards as
they
well.
They did, yes.
So it was very tough growing up in that kind of very tough growing up in that
dangerous time to be growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was saying about my mum in the Second World War. She remembers hearing those. It was a doodlebug, wasn't it? And then
that's
they go
right.
silent.
Yes.
And she was from Ilford, and a bomb dropped, and she went up underneath the front door,
yes,
luckily enough.
Yes.
So, and she's still very frightened. Even now, she's 83, 84, she will have a go at me when I see her. But even now, when it's thundering, she doesn't like it because it reminds her back when air raid shelters and stuff.
Good point, because, I mean, that was very much a similar thing in the First World War. My mum, who was born in 1924, we lost her a couple of years ago, but she always remembered that she lived in Tottenham, and she can remember a delivery man who had suffered from shell shock in the First World War, and because the mental scars were probably just as bad as the physical scars that these poor soldiers suffered. And if there was a plane going over, this would probably be in the early 1930s, he would be riding his bike and suddenly the bike would swerve all over the road and he'd sort of fall off and roll under whatever cover he could find. It was just so much in the mines. And I think, when you've lived through that sort of horror and, whatever anyone says, both of the world wars were horrible, horrible experiences to live through, then I think it must leave a real scar on the mind.
And you're going to be, as you said, if you want to go along and hear the talk, it'll be with Sylvia and yourself. That's Nick Dobson and Sylvia Dowling. Sylvia will be reading out all the poetry and you'll be doing the history, but it's humorous and obviously sensitive. It's a sensitive subject, but it is, don't listen because we're saying about, it was a terrible thing. It is obviously a terrible thing, the war, but there will be humour in it
as
well.
There's a lot of humour because obviously one of the greatest enemies of soldiers in the trenches was boredom.
Mm.
It could be very, very boring because there'd be long periods where nothing much would happen. In fact, if you were lucky, you could be in part of the trenches where you'd see very little fighting because they would even have truces. There was sort of like an ongoing breakfast truce along much of the Western Front where the Germans would say to the British or the French, we won't sort of try to take your trenches during breakfast time, so at least you can have breakfast in peace.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things we do look at is quite a famous incident, which was the Christmas truce of 1914.
It's the football, isn't it? Is that the football or not?
That was one of the things that happened. Yep. There were truces all along the Western Front at Christmas 1914. Mm. There was a famous football match, which I think was between the Scots Guards and the Germans, and the Germans won 3-2.
Yep.
Well, we got revenge later, didn't
we? That is amazing, isn't that? It's amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of these soldiers, they actually got on very well. Mm. And there were accounts of British and German soldiers going off, getting drunk, and then sort of coming back about a week later after Christmas. And, they just had such a good time. And they suddenly were finding, we've not really got an argument with these people. They're very much like us.
Yeah.
And I think the high commands on both sides made sure that there would never be quite a repeat of that. There were truces around Christmas time, but nothing on the same scale as the 1914 Christmas truce.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in today.
Pleasure.
I hope that it all goes well. Don't forget, Nick does other talks as well. And have you got a website?
I haven't got a website yet. No, that's under construction. But, if anyone wants to sort of contact me, maybe you can sort of pass on my contact details.
You can go through the studio here. It's radio@phoenixfm.com. So don't forget, Nick Dobson and Sylvia Dowling, they're going to be reading out poetry, pictures and history of the First World War. And you can get to see this on the 13th of March at 2 o'clock to 3:45. This is at Great Baddow Parish Hall, which is 19 Malden Road, Great Baddow. And the tickets are just £5.